Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Wonderful. Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered. I'm excited about this year. And for the last time, Happy New Year. It's Feb. Happy New Year for the last time. Amazing, amazing, amazing. We really want to ensure that we get going with the mandate that God has given to us. And yesterday, all across our campuses, we had what we call Watoto Leadership 101, going back to the basics of leadership. We want to raise godly, transformational leaders. When I talk about that, we mean discipled leaders, especially for our small groups. Now, beginning this week, there's going to be a small tweak when it comes to our small groups. Now, in the beginning, as you start your small group, there's going to be a bite-sized version of the message you hear on the weekend to just remind us about what happened on the weekend, because many times when you leave Sunday, you leave with someone here, so I want to remind you. And then after that, about 7 minutes, you get into the discussions to ensure you apply the message that you are hearing, not to leave it in the cell, to apply it every day. And our goal is to ensure each one of you really gets into a small group, and may God use you more than ever before this year. Now, as we get into God's word, I want to pray, shall we? God, grateful for this moment. Holy Spirit, fill me. Use me. I'm simply a vessel. I'm available to do what you want to do and to speak through me so your people can hear what you want them to hear and to do what you want them to do. I honor you. In Jesus' name I do pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. So, our theme this year is Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered. And this comes from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Let's read that together. This is what the word of the Lord. He said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Now, the context of this word is this. The Israelites had been released from captivity. They had returned to their promised land, their land from Babylon, where they had been for a couple of years because of their disobedience. When they returned, they began to rebuild the temple that King Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed when they were being taken away into exile. And so they began to rebuild this temple. But along the way, they got discouraged because they were resisted by the people they found in their land. They didn't want them to build the temple. They didn't want them to worship Yahweh, their God. But also, they were discouraged because they had heard that the temple that was destroyed, Solomon's temple, was so beautiful. And when they saw what they were building, they felt so discouraged because it was inferior to Solomon's temple. It is in this context that the Lord, God Almighty, speaks to them through Zerubbabel. He said to them, you will indeed finish rebuilding this temple. But here is the catch. Not through your efforts alone, but by my spirit. In other words, if you want to do God's work and you are depending on your effort alone, you will fail. Now, why is this important for us today? The same is true for us today in 2026. We might not be building a temple like the Israelites in the days of Zerubbabel, But God has an assignment for us in our season. God has a vision for us as a church. God has a call for you as an individual. And the assignment that God gives to you, the assignment that God gives to us, can never be accomplished in our strength alone. Now, two kinds of things that God wants to do. One, he wants to do a work in you. Secondly, he wants to do a work through you. That's important. What is the work in you? When you became a Christian, God gave you his spirit, and the work of sanctification, or to become like Christ, began. And for you to become like Christ is not something you can do in your own strength. You don't wake up in one morning and say, I will be like Jesus today. You will try for the first hour. By noon, you will fail. Because it's not by power, not by might, but by his spirit that you can become more like Jesus. That's the work in you. The work through you is for you and I to become witnesses. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall become my witnesses from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. He says that if you are going to accomplish the Great Commission, Matthew 28, you need my spirit. You must be spirit-led. You must be spirit-empowered. Remember, the assignments that God gives to us can never be accomplished in our own strength. If you feel God has given you an assignment and you can do it in your own strength, that is not the God of the Bible. But here's the good news. For every assignment that God gives to us, he also equips us. He never leaves us alone. I'll give you two examples. One in the Old Testament. God called Moses to deliver Israel out of captivity, an impossible task. He needed God to show up, and God had to perform miracles, signs, and wonders to persuade Pharaoh to release the Israelites. It was not because Moses was a powerful guy. No, it was because Moses was fully dependent on God. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. And then in the New Testament, Jesus called ordinary people. People just like you and I. And he said, follow me, and I will teach you how to fish and catch men. And he showed them how to do that. He performed miracles as they watched him. He preached the gospel as they watched him. And then later he said, now, you go and do like I have done. In Mark chapter 6, verse 7, here the Bible says, calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority, power, to drive out impure spirits. He sends them in the power of the Holy Spirit. When God calls, he equips. God never assigns without supplying the needed help. And the help that we need to fulfill God's assignment is the Holy Spirit. And that is what I'm going to be talking about today. Sorry, that is who I'm going to be talking about today. And the next couple of weeks, we are going to be unpacking who the Holy Spirit is, because if we are going to be spirit-led and spirit-empowered, we must know who the Holy Spirit is. And so today, for the next couple of minutes, I'm going to labor to bring what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit. Now let me ask you a question. When you hear me say Holy Spirit, what comes into your mind? Now some people, When they hear Holy Spirit, they think of power. They think about people becoming disorderly. Some people think electricity. Shake, falling down. Some people think emotions, oh, feelings. But who is the Holy Spirit? And today I would like to address who he is so we can understand him for who he is and walk with him so we can be spirit-led and spirit-empowered. Because the right understanding of the Holy Spirit is what is going to lead us to fulfill God's assignment for our lives. Now, there's lots of misunderstandings. And you know what? The Holy Spirit is the most misunderstood member of the Trinity. And partly it's because when you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit does not spotlight himself. But his work is undeniable. You can see that the Holy Spirit is at work. And when the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit, it does not teach us as something to be experienced. The Bible teaches the Holy Spirit as someone to be known. Number one, who is the Holy Spirit? He is God. Simply speaking, he is God. He's not an impersonal force that comes and possesses you and forces you to do things you don't want to do. That would be a demon. He is God. Now, the Godhead is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Though the word Trinity does not exist in the Bible as in the word, but the Trinity exists. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Old Testament, all the New Testament, there's consistency in the teaching that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit exist not as three gods, but as one God in three persons. When Jesus was being baptized, the Bible says, when he entered the water, the voice from heaven was heard, "This is my Son." Actually, "This is my beloved Son." And they saw a picture of a dove coming down, Holy Spirit. In that moment, we hear the voice of the Father, the Son is being baptized, and the Holy Spirit descended and remained on him. The Trinity right there. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's not third in command as we understand hierarchy as human beings. You see, for us here on this world, you know, we got this twisted because of the systems of this world. Because in every organization, there is the leader, for example, a CEO. Now, for lack of a better word, we don't have a CEO at Pododo Church, but let me give you just like Pastor Julius is the leader, is a team leader. Now, many people, they know if they want things to happen, don't talk to Pastor Eddie. Go right to the top. In fact, some people will use me in order to get to Pastor Julius. They say, "Pastor Eddie, let me take you out for coffee," because they know I like coffee. And then they present me a proposal. They know that if I give a word to Pastor Julius is going to open the door because he trusts that whoever allows it, he's of substance. So you use me to get to Pastor Julius. Now, some people think Holy Spirit is there to be used in order to get to God the Father. And we forget that actually Holy Spirit is an equal member of the Trinity. He is God himself. He is not a tool to be used to fulfill our plans. He is a God to be revered and obeyed. He is God. He is all powerful. He has power. He is all-knowing. We sang a song. Our young people are leading us a song. Oh my God, you are everywhere. He is everywhere. Holy Spirit, He knows everything. Holy Spirit is eternal. He is God. In Acts chapter 5, verse 3 to 4, we see an incident in the early church that really shows how the early church viewed the Holy Spirit, which can help us to really view Him the same way. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Did it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? And then this is the verse, underline it. You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. The early church viewed the Holy Spirit as God. So must we. He has the same divine attributes and nature as God the Father and God the Son. You see, friends, you don't lie to a force. You don't lie to power. You don't lie to emotions. You don't pray to feelings. No. Holy Spirit is God. That means He is worthy of the honor. He is worthy of your obedience. If you are going to be Spirit-led, you must know that it's God who is leading you. If you're going to be Spirit-empowered, you must know that it's God Himself who is empowering you. In our dispensation, in our age, Holy Spirit is the member of the Trinity that has been given to us to lead us, to guide us until Jesus comes back for His church. So we learn that Holy Spirit is God. So worship Him, obey Him, listen to Him, follow Him. Secondly, the Bible teaches that actually Holy Spirit is not impersonal. He is a person. Not with a body like you, but He has attributes of a person. In John 16, 13, Jesus is teaching the disciples, because in that moment He was telling them that He was going to depart and they were sad. And He tells them, it's good for me to go away because I'm going to send another helper who's going to do many things. Who's going to be like I am to you, but everywhere at the same time. He says, but when the Spirit of truth, He is the Spirit that leads us in all truth. If you believe the lie, Holy Spirit is there to lead you into all truth. When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. Here we see that He, Holy Spirit, speaks. He guides. He is one who has been given to us to lead us, to guide us, to undo the lies of the enemy that He has been sowing in our world, in our minds. He guides. Secondly, in Ephesians 4:30, Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you have been sealed for the day of redemption. You cannot grieve a force. You cannot grieve electricity. You grieve a person. You see, I'm a dad. I have three teenagers. I love them so much. And I have good plans for them. And because I've lived longer than them, I know a bit more about life than they know. And sometimes I see them trying to be wise in their own eyes. And they think, I'm dumb. I might be old. I might not be knowing the latest strokes. No, that was a Trump dance. Sorry. Which one was that? I do that to get steps on my Fitbit. But I'm wise. I've been around. And sometimes they tell me a lie, and I know they're lying. Because I know them. I've been with them from the moment God gave them to me. And I think I don't know, and it grieves my heart. It grieves my heart because I know if they continue going in that direction, they're going to be destroyed. Because I know the end of their lies is destruction. I know the end of their wrong decisions is bondage. Now, if I, a simple man, broken, imperfect, I am grieved when my children go in a direction that I know is going to destroy them, how much more God, the Holy Spirit, who was there the day you were conceived, who knows the end from the beginning, when he tells you, get out of that ungodly relationship and you stay in that. He loves you so much and he's grieved because he has beautiful plans for you. That is why we must listen and take heed. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. He is your helper. He is here to work in you so you can become Christ-like. He's here to help you when you are stuck. He's here to guide you when you have no idea where you're going. He is all wise. He knows everything. You can ask him anything. He knows the answer to it. He is God, and he's the person you can build a relationship with him. In Acts 13:2, this is the early church in a place called Antioch. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So we here receive clearly. They didn't say Jesus spoke. They didn't say God spoke. But the Holy Spirit said, he speaks. He leads. He sends. There are things that a person does. So we don't use the Holy Spirit. He's not a tool for your plans. He's God who has a will for our lives. You know, sometimes, you know, the days of ignorance, God can really just say, you know what, they're ignorant. But now we're going to know the truth about who he is. And that means we're going to relate with him differently. Sometimes I wonder how we pray, and I'm wondering, who are we praying to? And especially we Pentos. We take over instead of the Holy Spirit taking over. You know, let me just tell you something about prayer. Prayer is a response to what God is saying. God speaks first and then you respond. You know, and this is why it's important. Some of us, we think prayer is when you go and talk. Sometimes you go for an overnight and you talk from 9 until 6. And you are so tired. You go back home like, man, we prayed. No, you lost a day. And you lost some weight. Because all you did was scream and kick and go around and sweat. What did God say? No, it was powerful. He was there. How? Many people came. Many people showed up for political rallies. Was God there with them in the power of the Holy Spirit? The number of people is not authentication of the presence of the Holy Spirit. He speaks. And especially in our day, you know, and it is a tradition that we have. Everything must be loud. Loud. The beginning, and this is to Pastor Tony and the musicians here. The first song, loud. Second song, loud. Even the slow song, loud. The prayer, loud. Appreciation, loud. The preacher, loud. When are we going to be quiet and say, now, let's listen? And when you listen, you find that there's so much noise because you're not used to listening. Some of us, we don't know how to listen because something has to be happening. You know, like some. He is a person. When you go on a date, Valentine's is coming. and one of you talks from beginning to the end, you ask the other person how the date was, they will say, I will never. Some of you, God has nevered on you and you have no idea. Okay, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That was. We must learn to listen. Take the noise away and be quiet. I was listening to a podcast the other day. And this individual said they went away for 21 days of praying and fasting, and they went to a desert to listen. No phones, nothing. And he said, the first week was like torment. Because he did not know how to do nothing. Some of you are addicted to being busy. We have no idea. And the day we are living in actually celebrates being busy. These gadgets are busy things. Notifications, app, everything is meant to be busy. You're optimizing everything. You're looking at the, how many steps have I taken? How many calories am I burning? Everything is speaking. Now you have even smart TVs, smart lights, everything. You know. He says it was torture. Can you imagine silence being torture? But it was to deal with the demons of distraction for a moment. And then after that, he began to hear the voice of the Lord clearly. Listen, Holy Spirit wants to build a relationship with you. He's not a tool to be used. He's not a genie in the bottle that you use. I decree and declare power. Who are you talking to? It is Holy Spirit. Have some reverence, my friend. We have become so irreverent. We are commanding God. No, he is the one who is commanding. I'm the vessel through which he speaks. Where is the humility, child of God? I have the power. No, you don't have the power. You are simply a vessel. Actually, I mean, all that God can even use a broken vessel like me to do his mighty works in every day. It brings humility, not arrogance. That is being spirit-led. You can't be spirit-led and you are arrogant. And you're the source of all power. God performs something small in your life and you're broadcasting it everywhere and you're inviting you, come and receive power with your name on it. And all of a sudden, because God has done a miracle, your dress code changes, your shoes change, your hairstyle has changed. Now you must be approached in a certain way. He is God, worthy of the respect. It is an honor that Holy Spirit actually resides in a broken vessel like me and he wants to work in me. He is a person, not a tool to be used, but God who has a will for your life. So let's practice the presence of God. Let's practice listening to him. When you wake up in the morning, as you leave the house, in that moment, say, Holy Spirit, today, I surrender to your will. I'm going to that difficult meeting. I'm limited, but you are unlimited. Give me wisdom. I'm a parent. I've talked to my children. They're not changing. I can't change them. But you are the one who changes hearts. Help me in my parenting. My marriage is on the rocks. Holy Spirit, I invite you, come. I'm driving in Kampala, the borders. Holy Spirit, work in me. And that day is going to load borders to bring the fruit of the Spirit, patience. They'll scratch your car. And you say, but God, I prayed. But you say you wanted patience and long suffering. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you. Those hands, that hand clap, I think, was for me. Was it for God? If it's season, give him a better hand clap. Thank you. You see the dynamic, full life that Jesus promises to his children is an outgrowth of an intimate relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. So be led by the Holy Spirit every day. Remember, he's a person. So listen, obey him. And as you obey him, he empowers you. And the more you obey him, he empowers you more. Lastly, Holy Spirit gives life. He's the life giver. In John 3, 5, Nicodemus heard Jesus preach and he comes to him. He said, man, you're such a good teacher. There's nobody who can teach unless they have been sent by God. Then Jesus begins to tell Nicodemus what he was missing. And he told him, you must be born again. And then he said this in verse 5. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Nicodemus, when he heard the word born again, was like, do I go back into my mother's womb? No, it's like, it's not a physical thing. It is not an outside-in thing. It is an inside-out. It is Holy Spirit regenerating you. We all are born sinners. We are born dead to the Spirit of God, and we need a miracle of regeneration. And I try to think about the best illustration for this, and my mind took me to those TV scenes that you've watched when somebody is, their heart has stopped, and they bring that machine and they first rub it together and say, clear, and they place it in the chest. Anybody else seen that? Yeah, I don't know what it's called, but it's, I think it works sometimes, according to TV. Clear. Then the thing just shocks to bring the heart back to life. I think you need that when the heart has stopped pumping so that the heart can come back to life. There was life before, but now it's gone. Now they're trying to resuscitate that individual. It's like shock the heart, bring power from outside in to recreate a new power from inside out. Now, that is just an example that came to my mind, but I'm just trying to imagine what happens when we, who are dead to God, God comes to us. When he convicts us of our sins, it's as if the heart was not pumping and the Holy Spirit comes and brings new life and you become alive to God. He's the giver of life. That is what Jesus is talking about here. You must be born of water and the Holy Spirit. Titus 3:5 says this, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. That's important. The reason we're given new life is not because of anything good we have done. There are many people doing good things, but good things cannot save us because good things are not good enough before our God. His standard is way higher than anything good we can ever do. He saved us not because of the righteous things we have done. Not that sinners cannot do good things. Yes, they do. But those are not good enough to merit our salvation. He saved us not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. Mercy is God withholding the judgment that we deserve because of the sin in our lives. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. That is being born again, being a Christian. You can grow up in church but be far from God. You can be religious and you can speak Christian language, we call it Christianese, but yet not be born again. When Jesus showed up, he found religious people doing religious things. They had a temple. They were worshiping. They were quoting the law. But he told them, you are far from the kingdom of God. Why? Because they're trying to do things from the outside, yet on the inside they were rotten. Because salvation is not an outside-in work, it's an inside-out. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, Christianity is not about behavioral modification. It's about spiritual transformation. You know, when you are born again, something happens. You can never be saved and you stay the same. If you stay the same, nothing happened. It's inevitable because the life of God now resides on the inside of you. You will struggle with the flesh because all of a sudden now you are alive to the things that you're not alive to before. Christianity is not about trying harder. It's about being made new. And this happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. None of us can become a Christian in our own strength. You don't wake up one morning and say, today I'm going to become a Christian. It is a work that God does. It is a miracle. So he is God. He is a person, not a tool to be used, but God to relate to. Thirdly, he's the giver of life. Your sanctification, your walk with Christ, you need the Holy Spirit. And we shall be talking about that. Overcoming sin and living in holiness, you need the Holy Spirit. Becoming alive as a child of God, you need the Holy Spirit. So Christianity is different from every other religion. Every other religion, you do stuff, then you qualify. Christianity, God does a work in you. And then you begin to do the works that he loves you to do as a response to his mercy and his grace. Holy Spirit is the giver of life. So be filled with the Holy Spirit and surrender your life to him. Before that night, I was doing the things that Christians called sin. And I was comfortable with it. In fact, these things didn't bother me. I justified them because everybody else was doing them. In fact, I would even point to Christians. Some of you are doing them. Then one night, everything changed. I woke up crying. I woke up weeping. A cry like no other. And that moment, my heart was broken for who I really was. It's as if my eyes began to see the true state of my heart, and I was broken about the filth and wickedness that I saw in me. The things I used to excuse and justify are the things I was mourning and weeping about. And my heart was crying out like the Apostle Paul, who said, oh, what a wretched man I am. Who can save me? Right there, when I was at my worst moment, I felt something I never expected. No rejection, no condemnation, no distance. I felt as though I was being embraced by a love like no other. Even though I was filthy, broken, and guilty, I felt the most loved individual. I felt the most love I've ever felt in my life. Now when I look back, I realize two things had happened. The Holy Spirit had come into my heart and opened myself and to see the true state of my heart. I was convicted by the Holy Spirit. Yet in the same moment, the Holy Spirit showed me there's a love that is greater than my filth, guilt, and shame. The love that only God gives. And I knew I had to make a response to that. I didn't know how to do that at that moment, but I knew if I go to church, it's going to happen. I came to church. I sat upstairs in the balcony. End of the service, I looked up. I said, God, I don't know how to get saved, but I think I am. I felt a peace like never before. I walked out of this place with so much joy. I don't remember if I took a taxi or if I walked. But I was waiting to tell those Christians who had been reaching out to me for the last couple of months. I couldn't wait to tell them, guys, I am born again. That year was 1999. The best thing that has ever happened in my life. If God could save a wretched man like me, He can save you. If God can accept me, He can accept you. It's time for you to make a response right now. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. God, I'm grateful. Holy Spirit, You are the giver of life. And I pray in this moment, would You draw people to Yourself. And I know right now they're feeling that tugging. Give them the courage to finish what You began. To say, yes, I surrender. Not just a bit of me, I surrender all. Here in person and online. If that is you, you're saying today, that's what I'm sensing in my heart. I want to surrender my all to Jesus. In person, would you lift up your hand? Let me pray for you. I want to pray for you. Lift up your hand. Online, raise that emoji. Or fill out that link, click it, that is coming up. I want us to pray together. Raise your hand. You know you're in this place. Surrender all. Young and old, it's never too late. Now is the moment. Holy Spirit is the one drawing you. I'm simply a vessel. He's the one who has convinced you, who's telling you it is time. Turn to Jesus. Let Him embrace you. Let Him forgive you. Let Him love you. Raise your hand. Everybody in this place, online, raise that hand. I want to pray with you. Be courageous. Be courageous. This is your day. Thank you. I see hands being raised. Upstairs, raise your hand. In the overflow, online, click that link. Today is the day to receive new life. Today is a day to live with peace and joy, knowing you're forgiven. God, I'm grateful for the people are raising their hands in person, online, wherever they are. I thank You in this very moment that You are flooding their hearts with peace and joy, knowing that they are forgiven. Guilt, shame, no more. Jesus, You carried that on the cross when You died for our sins. So, Father, I pray that today, would You fill them with Your Holy Spirit and may their lives never be the same again. In Jesus' name I do pray. And everybody say it, amen. Can we celebrate our friends? I've said yes to Jesus. Come on.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@wototochurch.com.